What's up, everyone? Dear Albie, this is gigantic news. Before I get into it, well, you're going to meet some new people today, but there's someone you're not new at all. Jules is here.
Hi, guys.
And this is gigantic because obviously everybody in the Dear Albie world is rejoicing right now that we have Jules and me in the same room, which is fantastic news. But I'm not up north. I am down south. I am at the Berkeley Hotel.
Yes, you are.
And Jules is here, finally. And I've
got
two of our staff members, that our most beloved staff members that you guys have yet to meet. We have Mike.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Mike looks how he sounds. He's got a very, like, you know, everybody just right now, all the girls just now, they don't have to look at him. You hear him. Mike is the heartthrob of the Berkeley Oceanfront. Chris is looking at me funny right now when I say that.
And then, I am.
And then we've got Chris.
Hey guys, how
Chris,
are you?
Chris is the sweet. If you guys were a boy band, Chris would be the sweetheart. It's what he is. He's like the.
I'm the nice guy.
You're the Lance Bass of Tori and NSYNC, I think. Lance was the nice one,
okay,
right?
Okay, I'll take that.
He's the nice one. He talks about the sunset when we're supposed to be working. Al knows about that too well.
Yeah, and then I would go with Mike's like the JC to Urbano's Timberlake, I guess. That's really what it is. You know, Urbano's frontman and that stuff. I don't think we can debate that, right?
No. Hey, I'll take that. Thanks, Al.
But, I mean, you know, I'm just saying. It's true. It's true. We have a very well-rounded staff here. But the bigger thing, so Jules is here, okay? And the reason this is such a big deal, obviously, is this is the first time you're seeing the hotel.
First time.
And what do you think? What are your thoughts so far?
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. The staff is awesome. I already told you I want to work here.
Which is bullshit. Because I've been saying to Jules, just so to give you guys a little bit of a background, I've been asking Jules to work here for, I mean, like, you know, light stuff, because when I would bring it up, she definitely did not seem at all interested in working there. It's too far, it's this, it's that, all this other stuff, right? And all of a sudden, she spends one night here, okay? She comes to help us out with the haunting and everything like that, all right? Spends one night. She goes, you know, Al, I'd love to, like, spend more time. If you need more people, you need work.
It's because she met me first.
I think it is. I think it has a lot to do with it, Chris. I think it does. So, Jules, tell me, like what is, you know, this place is like, what changed in your mind? What's going on?
Everyone's just so friendly and nice, and just the vibes are good. You're right by the beach. I'm looking out my hotel room. I got an ocean view.
Mm-hmm. We hooked it up.
Yeah.
He gave you the ocean view?
Yeah.
I got the third floor insane asylum.
Yeah, no, I got ocean view.
And you had me guiding you through the first tours.
Yes.
Right, so I was the first warm welcome that you saw.
It is, right? it is a big thing, for sure. I think it's a very big thing. Now, couple of things we want to go over. We're gonna get into some ghost stories and stuff like that because it's been delayed a little bit, mm-hmm. obviously. Number one, number two. Now, you guys, so you know, this is you meeting everybody. Is this like for you a little bit of an out of body experience coming here? Number one. Do you get it now that I've been a little bit more MIA, and why?
Definitely.
Okay, that's piece number one. Number two, I feel like now you're starting to get a little bit of FOMO, like past FOMO, like retroactive FOMO. Like, oh my God, what have I missed in the summer?
Yeah, I could have worked here in the summer.
Yeah, which, I mean, come on. Like, why would I put you in what position would I put you in? I'm not going to tell you to do something that, like, you know.
If I was down here, though, I think we'd get more episodes out.
Oh, yeah, no question. But besides that, okay, immediately you complimented the studio, my studio skills. There's
another
one
here.
Yeah,
you did a great – Al set this all up, guys, like by himself. This is pretty impressive.
And then – so she complimented my studio skills. Like, you guys don't understand, okay? Jules was the intern of the Dear Albie show, okay? She's now Boss Lady Jules. She now owns a part of the show with us, okay? She basically bosses me around and tells me what to do. That's literally Jules' job, right? So when you come here and see a bunch of people really your age, okay, that is it weird to you seeing a bunch of people that work like basically for us, like here with Chris and I and all that other stuff in a similar way that like when we first met and all that in a weird way, right? Is mm-hmm. it like, do you get a little, are you a little jealous of how close we've come with the staff here?
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I mean, I come down here, I'm like, everyone's my age. I'm totally missing out. And everyone at home, you're missing out too because the Berkeley's awesome.
All right, time out. We got an issue. Time out. 1 second. Okay. I just had to pause and get awkward. I ran just now because Chelsea was just here. She texted me, and she's stuck in an elevator right now with her mom. And it's at the apartment. Chelsea, I'm reporting live on this right now. Chelsea is stuck in an elevator. Hold on. I'm gonna get her on the phone.
We're coming at you live.
Yo, the like help button's not working out. It's just lagging here, like nothing's working.
Is it terrible that I got you on speaker and on the podcast? I am concerned for your well-being and safety, but is it terrible that I'm using this for content? All right, wait, who do we call for this?
What do you mean? Your
I got you.
Al, Al has us on speaker on the podcast right now. Al, listen, no. I want you to get those views, but I'm locked in an elevator in the dark.
Chels, right, we're praying for you.
Wait, babe, is this you're at the apartment, right? I'm
yes.
looking up who to call. I don't know who do you even call for this.
I don't know. Al, the fire department button's not working. All right. The alarm button's
just
not working.
Listen. I'm gonna call 911 direct. I guess. I'm gonna call the. Well, I mean, who do we call? What floor are you on?
I don't even know. It stopped after like two.
Were you going up or going? Were you going up or going down?
We're going up to the.
How is that part relevant?
It shook. The lights went off and it stopped.
I am not enjoying your Halloween experience.
I didn't do the Halloween experience.
This isn't part of it.
It's not at the apartment. The Halloween experience. I thought you were, dude. I thought you said you were stuck at the elevator at the hotel. I jumped up and ran. No, but okay.
Nothing's working.
All right, call. Is there a number to call for this? I don't even know where we live. Barely.
Do you have the Supers number?
I don't think I have the address off the top of my head. I didn't know how to get there.
I'm gonna get comfortable. It's already getting hot.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna find who to call.
No, you gotta call the Super.
I'm gonna find who to call.
Okay.
Love you. Bye. All right. So we're gonna work this out. You guys. Here's what we're gonna do. Urbano. You sit here in this chair. You put these headphones on. And I want you to ask really quick. I'm going to duck out and try and save my, you know, girlfriend.
Any questions from Daravi listeners?
Do we have a question for him?
No, but we have a review on Urbano. So
oh, shit.
Oh. No, it's a good review.
Oh, you know what? Here. You know what? Hold on. This is going to be a big moment. Urbano, switch with Jules.
Yes.
All right. You guys are going to go back and forth with the hand stuff.
I'm not sharing.
Jules, you throw the. You hang on.
Of course he's not.
Jules, you come here.
Mike, you
okay.
Come
here. And throw the headphones on just so you know where everybody's voice is at. Okay. And this is what I want to do. All right, step over that wire there. Jules, you can go over the Urbano review. But what I was gonna ask you guys, because obviously she's getting FOMO and all that. What is it like for you guys to see now Jules, I guess, finally in your case,
yeah.
And how are we all feeling? Because it looks like everyone's bonding. It's kind of crazy. I got to go see what my girlfriend's like.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wasn't expecting this. All right, guys.
Let's go, Jules.
Hi.
Taking over. All right, we're going to start off with the first story. We're going to do ghost stories because we can't wait for Candace. I'm sorry, Candace. Like, Halloween's coming up and we got to get going. So the first story we got, first things first, Urbano is hilarious. And you'd be foolish to listen to the haters. Keep him coming back.
Thank you. Can I address the two comments that Al made last week? One was, or a few podcasts ago, one was the woman said, I cussed too much.
Yes.
So, out of respect for that listener, I will attempt to be more cognizant of my blue language. And to the person that said irregardless was not a word.
Yeah.
I checked my girlfriend Miriam and Webster. And if you look her up, you know what she says? Irregardless is a word that's been used for hundreds of years.
Wow.
So to quote Naomi Campbell, check your lipstick before you come for me.
Oh my God.
I don't know much about receiving the hate that you have. I haven't been on a platform to really receive hate yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that probably ignore that stuff, man. I don't know. Like,
no, it's good.
I feel like there's constructive criticism and then there's just like hating.
Yeah, hear it as you want. I have the power. We all have the power to really internalize the verbiage and thoughts and commentary of other people, and we could hear it as a reflection of them, as a reflection of ourselves, or an opportunity to kind of, you know, get better.
True, but you're being your authentic self.
Yeah, but I don't have to curse.
So you talking now, right, and how you're acting now is your authentic self.
Absolutely.
He is like this every single day.
Yes.
And
this is calm,
and
actually,
that's what,
I think. It's
well,
actually.
This is a little bit calm, yeah. But that's what makes you you, so,
thank
like,
you.
Why would you change that?
Oh, Mike.
I, like Mike, have not been on a platform to receive hate. The only hate I do receive is from Urbano.
It's never
so
hate for
I'm
hate.
Used
it's
to
incur-
it.
I believe in
it's
challenging
It's preparing me for what's to come.
All right, let's go. Oh,
all right, on to the first story. Now onto the real reason for the email. I don't know if I even believe in ghosts, but I may have had an experience with a ghost or a demon or something. In 2006, I started working for a university while I pursued my master's degree. The job involved living in an apartment in a dorm year-round. Most of the time, the place was buzzing with activity, and it was honestly an easy job with a free place to live on campus. During holiday and summer breaks, it could get a little spooky to be the only person living in a 20-story building. I had just moved into my apartment, and I immediately started having nightmares. Every single night, I would dream about ghosts in my apartment. This went on for weeks. A couple of memorable ones were a dead mother and baby walking toward my bedroom.
Not okay.
The mother staring right through me with dead eyes and the baby not making a crying noise, but a high-pitched gasp. Another night, there was a police officer who came toward me and her freshly slit wrists were bleeding and held out as if to ask for help. On another night, I had a dream of a thick black presence that overtook my whole body.
Girl.
It was so freaky, but I never told anyone. One evening, a friend asked me to go to church with her. Picture a southern type of church. Bear in mind, I never told anyone about my dreams. In the middle of the sermon, the pastor stopped dead in his tracks, looked right at me, and said, "I feel strongly that something has been messing with you at night and tormenting your sleep.
Escándalo.
I will pray for you right now that this will never happen again." He called me to the front of the church, and a group of them prayed for me, and it literally never happened again.
Wow.
The power of prayer.
Yes.
I'd have been moved, though. I don't know what took her so long. I don't know. Scholarship or not, grad school or not. It's like, girl, I'm not. I gotta go.
What is that stuff that you used in the haunted room?
Sage. I used sage. I used something called Palo Santo, which
sage?
Is
sage. Don't you cook with sage?
No.
Like butter and sage?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't
like
cook.
A butter and sage
I don't really,
sauce.
Butter's not really in my dietary like regimen. Like I'm not like
no,
a butter
you never
guy.
Had ravioli with butter and sage?
No, it's not my people. I'm sorry.
That's Tuscany.
Maybe, yeah.
You're from down.
Penne alla vodka.
You're from southern.
Yeah, I'm southern. Yeah, no. By burnt sage, Palo Santo, which is like a piece of wood. Sage clears the energy. Palo Santo is supposed to lift the energy. Okay. And then I put some camphor. It's like a camphor cube in water by my bed.
And did you find that worked?
Yeah, I haven't had bad dreams. I haven't heard heavy breathing. I've slept. So yeah.
Did you try prayers as well? Or?
Yeah. Please don't fuck with me. Sorry, cuss lady, but I just asked the ghost not to fuck
Chris
with me.
Is
it's funny because her dreams sound a lot like some of the rooms we have right now.
Oh, really?
The haunting, the policeman, the baby, the woman with the babies in one of the bridal suite. Yeah. So, you know, some similarities, yeah.
This leads right into the second story, which is actually about the Berkeley. Somebody sent in a ghost story.
This one is creepy. I will say that.
Chris.
So
don't set it up, bro. I'm scared.
I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I love it. Everyone on the show is great and brings a fun, unique voice to the conversations. I normally listen while running and find myself chuckling like a fool as I jog through the park. Anyway, I know you're having a haunted house attraction this year at the Berkeley, and I wanted to relay a creepy encounter my friend and I had there in 2003. Back then, Asbury Park and the Berkeley, as it was still called, what was it called before?
I think it was the Berkeley Carteret.
Yes, that's what she put. I'll just get back.
Guys, real quick, not to interrupt. Chels?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're back on. Listen, real quick update. We have called 911. The police are inbound. She feels she's stuck on the second floor. The elevator shook and stopped.
Somebody was just outside, and they were like, I think someone's stuck in the elevator.
It appears a nice old woman is outside trying to give assistance, but it is not. She does not have the technology to basically call the door open. So, I mean, yeah, they're on their way. The 911 it rang for a while, and she picked up, and she was laughing when she picked up. That ass. She goes, 911, what's your emergency? I'm like, Jesus, like, you know.
Did she already know we were about to call?
I mean, I don't know what she had going on, but she sounds very eager to help.
She was super happy to be there.
She sounds very eager to help.
And? So they're just...
So we just see what happens. All right.
Oh, God. All right. Well, start putting in bets. How long it takes for us to get out here.
Yeah. Let's call me with her mom.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Oh, hi. I'm going to put on my disco ball lights. Yeah. Have a little party in here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
I would say put some lipstick on just in case a hot fireman comes, but I guess it's you're both not single.
I'll take a picture if he's hot,
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. Love you. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Getting stuck.
It happened to me once. I was stuck for an hour and a half in the city.
Oh, in the city. Did you call the fire department?
Yeah. We had to climb out of the elevator using a ladder.
Nice. Yeah, they'll destroy the elevator. Yeah. They don't care.
Yep. The elevator was destroyed.
All right, back to Al. Do you want to come back?
Keep it rolling for a second. I gotta do one more thing, just to make sure she's okay. I'm gonna call, make one more phone call.
Okay.
You know. Are you doing good? Just call the supervisor.
Yeah, we're on to the ghost story. All right. So back to the story. Back then, Asbury Park and the Berkeley Carteret, that's how it was, as it was still called, had yet to experience the. Lost my train. Had yet to experience what it is now. The boardwalk and hotel were still in states of deterioration when my friend Nora and I went down to see a concert at the Stone Pony. We booked a room at the Berkeley, and this being way before any renovations. The room we got was enormous, complete with a living room in red carpeting and a bathroom featuring a massive chipped time-worn mirror, the size of a typical Manhattan apartment. It reminded me of The Shining.
Facts.
The night of the concert, Nora went to shower while I sat in the living room, flickering through channels on an outdated console television set. Within 15 minutes, Nora came running out of the bathroom in just a towel and screamed, "Craig, you have to see this." I followed her into the bathroom where the giant mirror is still fogged from Nora's warm shower. She said something but pointed up to the far end of the mirror, and there I saw it. High up on this giant mirror near the ceiling was a perfectly formed handprint, but not just any handprint, maybe left by the cleaning person or a former guest. It was a very small, perfectly intact print resembling that of perhaps a four-year-old child. The damp bathroom air instantly chilled. Again, this bathroom was very large and the mirror stretched up to the ceiling. Even if a child were to get up there, there's no way a child would get up there. That's what she put. There would have been no way they could have reached. We both kind of uneasily shrugged it off and got ready for the concert. The show was great, and we drank the whole night. So after returning to the Berkeley, the handprint on the mirror wasn't on our mind. That was not until the next morning when I went into the bathroom to wash off my hangover. As I stood under the hot steam of water, I remembered the handprint. I turned off the shower, opened the curtain, and looked up. And again, it was not there.
Dun, dun, dun.
There was no sign of it anywhere. I quickly dressed and got out there. Thank God we were leaving the next day, because I don't think that we would have been able to stay.
Yeah.
Hopefully this child ghost will make an appearance at your Halloween haunted attraction. Have fun.
Oh, wow. I stayed in a haunted hotel room once, not here.
Really?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
What was that
It was, I used to stay in this hotel in Beverly Hills, and they had a sister hotel in San Francisco, and they gave me a great rate. So I was like, fine, I'll stay there. And I had to work the next day, and I get to the hotel and I was like, oh, it's kind of like The Shining, but it was like sexy. Everything was black, red, and white. And I go into my room and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. And I immediately like opened the curtains, and it was right off the highway in like downtown. I forgot what it's called, San Francisco. And so I went to dinner, I went to the gym, I got back to the hotel, it was like 10 o'clock, and it was just a really long room. And I remember, I was like, wow, it's so weird. Like, the bed was on one side, the TV was on the far end, and the bathroom was like right in the middle. So I took a shower, and I get in the bed, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I was just super uncomfortable. So I went out, and I figured I'd get drunk and go back, and I'll just go to sleep. And I went to bed, and someone knocked on my door, and I get up, and I look, and there was no one in the hallway. And I get back in the bed, and then someone knocked on the door again. And at that point, I grabbed my things, and I slept in the car.
Are you kidding?
I slept in the car from, I went into the car, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, I showed up at the store I was there to see, and I did all the work, and by the time all the employees came at 9, I was completely done, And they were like, what happened? And I was like, I'm just going to go to the gym and shower and brush my teeth, because I was like completely, that was it. That was it. I left.
You were,
I was
checked
like,
out.
No, two knocks is enough. I'm out.
No thought to go to the front desk, get a new room?
Nope.
Just right to the
I'm
car?
I'm out, son. I'm out. Peace. See you later. I'll sleep in the car. I'd rather sleep in the car in downtown San Francisco and feel safer. A crackhead, I can fight. A ghost, I can't.
Oh, my God. Has anyone complained about ghosts here at the hotel
all
yet?
The time?
Really? All the time.
Really? Yeah, we've heard a few. I am not a ghost believer by any means of the imagination. By nature, I also am not. And I experienced one here. And that is without anyone telling me that there were ghosts here. It was like week two I was here. I was all alone in the upstairs kitchen. Don't ever go in the upstairs kitchen alone. And I'm walking down the hallway. Very creepy. We have a flickering light in that hallway. There's this weird puddle of water that's always there. Don't know why. No one could seem to ever clean it up. Or it gets cleaned and it just reappears. So walking down the hallway, like I said, week two here. Never any knowledge of ghosts in the past. And all of a sudden, this door, this random closet door just creaked. Open as I'm passing it with like a cart full of like liquor to go to the bar. I'm like, what the am I allowed to curse on the show?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
I forgot about your complaint.
It's okay.
So I look in the closet, I'm like, what the hell? Kick the door shut immediately. I'm like, that's just weird. Didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably went through that hallway at least 20 times that day, going back and forth, setting up the bars. Every single time this door just would just creep open, and I would look inside, just black hole.
Really?
I would run down to Urbano immediately. I'm like, yo, we got ghosts in this hotel? He's like,
The chef in the second floor kitchen, I've seen him too. Yeah, I get up early here and I go and I do my thing and I will walk around.
Mm-hmm.
I won't cut through. I won't. Mm-mm.
Really?
No.
There was even one time where we were getting a tour of the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
I was with Bree, who was on here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was late at night after the shift. Al was kind of giving us a tour through the floor. I think you were there too. And he was walking us through. And the next day, during the shift or before the shift, Bree and I are like, let's go back and see it in the daylight. So we're walking down the hallway, and Bree just pushes open one of the doors that we had opened the night before. And the TV was on a random channel.
What?
And Bree just looked at me. And she's like, we got to get out of here. And we just ran down the hallway, down the stairs. It was the creepiest thing. I don't know how it happened, why it happened. It was bizarre.
Oh, that's sick.
I think at this point we also have expectations of ghosts. So if like any coincidental thing happens here, we just assume ghost, it's a ghost.
Yeah. Wi-Fi when goes reality, down, the ghost unplugged.
Yeah, exactly. Like the TV like shuts off randomly. Right. Well, that's probably a bad example, but like anything that happens, we just like assume it's a ghost at this point.
Yeah. I feel like now Bree just comes down in the morning. She's like, oh, yeah, I slept with the ghost in my room last night. Like, it just.
Bree and I had separate experiences in the same room.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I remember. Yep.
Yeah. I had heavy breathing all night long. I couldn't sleep. Nightmares. I had nightmares the first night I was in the room. The second night, just heavy breathing all night long. And the next day I left and I didn't say anything. And then Brianna stayed in the room the week after. And she was like, I had such a horrible night's sleep. She's like, I kept hearing heavy breathing. I was like, oh my God. And I said the room number. She was like, yes. I was like, yes. And we switched her. I didn't know. I thought it was just me. Like, I thought maybe it was me. Maybe it was something I did. Maybe it was something I ate.
But come stay at the hotel. It's beautiful around here. Don't be scared away.
The other floors are great, though. The other floors are great.
Yeah. We'll put you in one of those rooms.
No, those rooms are reserved for us.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking that last night when I was going to my room, like,
you felt a presence, right?
Kind of, but
she was thinking it because she knew about the ghost story.
I did, because I just got the email that somebody sent about the Berkeley, so I was like, I'm not going to think about it. All right, let's do the third.
Can we all just say, I had no idea how adorable, sweet that Jules is. Can we all say that?
Jules is the best.
I met Jules yesterday for the first time.
She is awesome.
So
met Jules yesterday for the first time.
Yeah,
she thought she met me the night before, but that wasn't
me too. Yes. Yeah. Jules and I technically met on Friday.
Yes,
even though we might have not remembered it that well, but we officially met on
Friday.
And she's great.
Oh, thank you. Friday was a blur.
Yes, Jules is amazing.
Boss Lady Jules.
Boss Lady Jules. Now we're trying to convince her to come work here permanently.
I want to.
I've been working on her all morning.
I'm down, but. Yeah, Friday was a complete blur. I tried White Castle for the first time.
Oh, geez, the White. Don't bring the White Castle up to the bottom.
Don't bring up the murder burgers.
Yeah. Not today, Satan.
Oh, my God. All right, next story. A few years ago, I was in Gettysburg for my sister's college graduation. I was driving to pick her up from a party on her campus, and there were two ways to get to the campus. One through the battlefield, and one that went around the battlefield. I let my GPS choose the route, so it took me through the battlefield while I was driving. A fog appeared out of nowhere, and it was in the middle of the road. I continued driving. As I got closer, it looked like it had the shape of a person. At this point, I am completely freaked out, driving alone in the middle of this dark road, going through one of the most haunted places in Pennsylvania. I ended up driving through the mysterious fog in order to get the fuck out of there. Every single part of my car dropped. I had my heat on at the time, and it dropped. My engine temperature dropped, as well as my oil temperature. Then, as if the ghost was going through the car, the indicator light for my automatic trunk went off as it was trying to open and gave me a warning message that said, You must be in park to operate automatic life gate. Needless to say, after that, I hit the gas, scared shitless that I had not only run over a ghost, but it tried to take over my car. I sped through the rest of the battlefield and didn't take that way back home.
Ever.
My car had never had any issues with temperature dropping before. 2 days after that, I was home from the graduation and took my car to the dealership for its routine service, and I told them what happened. And like everyone else told me, they stared at me like I was crazy and assured me that my car was in perfect working order. I have never had that issue before.
Oh my goodness. My asshole was so tight the whole time she was talking. I swore I was like there. I was in it. Oh, I was so stressed out.
That was definitely a ghost, without a doubt. Yeah. That's
a good trick, though. We should do that.
Yeah.
I'd be down.
Drive through.
Yeah, I mean, baby.
Road trip?
My friends and I actually had a trip there planned sophomore year of college, and one of the girls that was coming with us, we had to cancel the whole trip because she was so freaked out by the whole thing. And I've been there once since, and it just feels eerie. There's a constant presence around. The whole town is just, it's very cool if you're into that whole thing, but it definitely just has that eerie feel.
And yeah, I've never been, but the ghost, well, I don't know if you guys know, but last year we did a ghost hunt at the Don's house, Albie's mom's house. And this woman is like a professional ghost hunter.
Yeah.
She was actually in Gettysburg, I think this year. She goes every year, but that's why we couldn't get her this year, because she is full on ghost hunting.
Good for
all
her.
Over the country.
Good
yeah.
For her.
What does one have to do to become a ghost hunter? What are the requirements for this position?
I couldn't go to that episode, that recording, because I had night class, but she basically had this machine and it picked up noise. You can go back and listen to the episode.
Oh, no, I'm giving you a weird look right now. This is
That was a read, girl.
This is a tough sell for me that a machine's picking up ghosts.
No, it's energy. I think it picks up the energy.
I was just going to say, it's energy because
it's molecular. Like, yes. It picks it up in the air.
But it makes, like, it, I guess the energy and then makes a noise.
It makes, like, a static type of, yeah.
Because this ghost was saying these words, and a lot of our community
prostitution
members.
Sorry. For the one comment, I think someone laughed when I said that. That was for you.
Yes. She was lifting weights when you said that. She dropped the weights. But yeah, it picked up these words, and a lot of the community members are like, oh, they were talking about Chelsea, or they were talking about the pandemic. Like, so many different ways that people thought.
I think it calls you, Mike. I don't think you call the ghost hunting position. I think it kind of probably calls
it
you.
It speaks to your soul, yeah. We had I was touring a couple through the haunted house upstairs, and she's like, I needed to come here because I feel energy. She's like, I feel presence of ghosts. And when we went in to the bridal suite, she said every hair on her body just stood up. Yeah, she said there was something in
there.
I
feel energy sometimes.
Is that because I was hiding behind the I was hiding behind walls with masks, jumping out. I think that was the energy that she felt. I don't know if it was any ghost. That was a real person.
She felt Mike's bulging muscles throbbing in the other room. Anyone interested, they should find Mike. It's pretty. He needs more thought pictures on his Instagram, I think. Right?
Well, his last one was him with the baby, so I think that's.
That's not that, bro. No one cares. No one cares. No one cares. Sorry, no one cares. It's cute, but like, show me a tit.
Urbano's supposed to set me up with some hot Halloween costumes.
Yeah, Mike's gonna let me dress him up. I take Halloween very serious.
Oh, I saw you last night.
Within reason.
Yeah, so Mike's gonna let me. I'm gonna find some bits and pieces of costumes that I've had. That
if you go through Urbano's Instagram, you'll see some pretty rambunctious Halloween costumes.
You know what it is? As an immigrant, my parents didn't let me participate in a lot of American holidays. They didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to them. But as long as I gave my mother my Halloween candy, she let me go out as many times as I wanted.
Okay.
And so she never bought me costumes. There was a, you know, it was all whatever I can find or whatever I can manufacture. So I would make all these different costumes and go trick-or-treating and give her the candy so she could answer the door so the Americans could get the candy. And then she would let me go back. So I would just fell in love with it. It was always one of my favorite holidays because, you know, they let me do whatever I wanted to. Yeah.
Well, I saw you last night in your sailor outfit.
Thank you. Seaman reporting for duty.
And that childhood has now rendered into quite the costume.
Yes, and it was a sailor, but I was inspired by the Jean Paul Gaultier perfume bottle.
Oh, okay.
So I was really supposed to be the Jean Paul Gaultier perfume bottle, but which in turn is a sailor. So.
Love it. And you were a plumber.
I don't know what. I was a janitor.
Chris was flustered. A flustered janitor.
I was a janitor, a plumber,
dehydrated, hungry.
Often flustered in stressful situations.
Urbano does that to me. Stresses me out.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fun.
Al asked me if I want to wear the jumpsuit. I'm like, no. I'm going to bet.
No, you're too cute for that.
So you gave it to Chris.
Yeah.
Is everybody having fun? How'd you guys do?
Blessed.
How's Chelsea?
Chelsea's still in the elevator.
Oh my
The cops are there, and she just texted me and said that her mom won't stop cackling, and they have an audience. there's four people outside telling us it'll be okay, and they're calling the fire department. Police and fire are there now, and I'm just trying to get more updates. Nothing really I can do about it.
Nothing. No.
Oh, you're being the best boyfriend you can be.
She will be taking the stairs.
She can hear them.
Yeah, what floor? The fourth floor.
Yeah.
Fourth floor?
Stairs only. I only take the stairs.
I usually do, but I mean, sometimes all this luggage, I can't. But I was afraid I was going to get stuck in this elevator.
Facts.
But
sometimes the doors close and it doesn't move. And I feel like that's the ghost waiting for me. So then I run out. It's always the ghost. Oh, the ghost wants to go upstairs with me.
Yeah. Al, we got through three ghost stories. I mean,
so basically, like, this is the face of a Jules. It's like, look how much better the show works when Al's not around.
She is killing it up there. She really is. You do look natural.
You look good in the chair. You look good in the big chair.
Thank you.
The headset suits you as well.
Thanks.
We're also
eyebrows.
Complimenting.
Jules'
so
eyebrows are on
so
fleek, as they used to say.
Oh my gosh.
Your eyebrows on fleek.
So now do you look at the Berkeley shows differently, the ones being here, are you now more excited about the fact that we have as many people as we have here and all the other stuff? Because we were talking a lot about, is the show going to change if I'm down here and then go up with Candace and everything? Do you have more confidence now with meeting everybody that you can make stars, you specifically can make stars of everybody here?
Definitely. Without a doubt.
Do you have favorites?
Me.
Wow. What's going on? What's happening here?
Come on, Jules. You know.
Whoa.
Yeah, Chris is flexing on us.
Chris is for sure one of her favorites.
Guys, to break this down for you guys, you don't have the background. Jules is obviously my gold standard. Like, this is the sacred Jules, okay? There's no one outside of, like, without the last name Manzo that I'm more protective of than Jules. I have that. That's a big thing. I don't talk about Jules' dating life on this show. I don't let it happen as far as I'm concerned. Jules lives in a cage, okay? That is how I look at it. Now, one of my favorite stories to tell here, and I'm not even sure that I told it on the show or not. I've told it so many times I could have said it into a microphone. Mikey over here, you know, one day we're out working. Sweating, we're all like grinding it out. Everyone's going crazy. I said, Mike, you know, you did a great job today, man. You're a shark. It was awesome, right?
Oh, jeez.
And Mike goes, oh, thanks, bro, thanks. Chris is sitting right next to him and looks at me big wide eyes, looks at me, he goes, Al? I said, yes, Chris. He goes, am I a shark? I said, no, Chris. You're an angel. And Chris is, we call him Chris Angel. I was trying to get the Mind Freak to be his, because Chris Angel, Mind Freak, the TV show. Mm-hmm. You might be a little young for that. But I call him Chris Angel because he is sincerely such an angel. And we are very, very, here, very protective of our Chris. Okay? Like, one of our favorites here. Like, I am right now perplexed in how to react to what is unfolding in front of my eyes.
We all have different favorites. We all have different favorites. Chris is definitely, I can't, Chris cannot be my favorite.
I am not
because
Urbano's
Alan, Chris, Alan the other Chris, love Chris. So I have to, I choose Mike.
Yes.
If I have to. But.
And another angel story of Chris DeSanto.
Ouch.
I don't know.
What? Well, there was a big party.
So we had a big party here, and it was probably one of the biggest that we had. It was in July, and so a little stressful. Some high important clients, to say the least, were here.
Yes.
And so we had all our food. It was being prepared. I was working the luxurious hot dog station, and so Al, myself, and Chris.
His nickname was Mikey Meats that day.
Oh my God, that is not accurate information.
It was in my head.
So Al, Chris, and I are bringing over hot dogs, hamburgers, running amok all over the place. And all of a sudden, as Al and I are unloading food, serving people, Chris looks up and goes, look at that sky. Isn't that just the most beautiful sky?
I said, look at the sunset. And I for once, I wasn't a ball of stress and anxiety. I was trying to calm the situation and let everyone know that we will get through this.
I was running through, right? And I'm like, I'm holding the tray. Mike's all fast and furious. And you just, no, I'm sorry. Chris is holding the tray. Me and Mike are putting the stuff down. And Chris is just look at the sky. Isn't it beautiful? We're all here together.
No, I said, look at the sunset. Isn't it great? That's what I said.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that, though. Go look at the bright side.
And all Al says is, Chris, you're an angel.
Yep. Well, guys, Chelsea's still stuck between floors. I'm going to have to go and handle this. What I'm going to do, I know not, but the police fire department is there. So we are, obviously hoping for a good resolution there. Jules, overall, like, close this thing out. What do you think?
I mean, the Berkeley's awesome.
How was the show? Was the show good?
I think the show was great. I mean, I thought we had great conversation. And what?
Up. She's out.
Yeah.
She's out. She's out. She's saved. She's saved. We're good.
We have a bottle ready for her.
Power's out in the entire building. Power's out in all of Pier Village.
Oh, get the sparkling red ready.
Yes.
Thank God.
Okay. So we'll go through all the protocol and stuff for that. Crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jules, was it a good show? I missed it.
I thought it was an awesome show.
Oh, wow. Jules is looking at me like, we don't need you.
But
no, she might be right.
No, I feel too old with just them in the room. I'm too old. At least with you, I feel like I'm just an uncle. With them, I feel like.
But listen, I love when you're on Urbano, and don't listen to the reviews. I think people, they need to get, used to you. But it's always they're always harder on the new guy for any show, any situation.
Jules heard a natural pontification from me yesterday for the first time when we were in a room, and she kind of turned around and looked at me, and I was like, Jules, that's how I really speak. So I really do try.
Will you give her a RuPaul?
Oh, I think we did. Didn't we have a talk yesterday night? I had a talk with Jules today. And I was like, Jules, what would you like to do? And is there anything I could do? And she says she wants to become like a social media maven. And I told her that she could definitely help me. I think she's amazing, bright. And I told her, if she wants to get into fashion, whatever she can do, I'd be
so
supporting her 1,000%.
Thank you.
So Jules got me. Plus, she's beautiful, bro. Eyebrows on fleek. She got this cute little color on.
That's a wrap for the first Jules Berkeley visit.
Yeah.
Will there be more?
More to come.
I'll be back next weekend.
Wow. This is crazy. Couldn't get her down.
Oh, and life. I just want you to know, I saw Candace Friday. She misses the community. She'll be back. It's a crazy time right now because she has the kids with the sports and we're down here with the Berkeley. So, but Candace will be back. Don't worry about that because we love Candace too.
That we do. That we do. Love you all. We'll catch you later.